Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, what was the impact of the recession on Muslims as a minority in the West and what can they do to fight it?
The recession has taken the world by storm, increasing level of unemployment and austerity cuts. The National Institute of Economic and Social Research published a new forecast suggesting that UK growth will be lower than predicted. The Institute said that unemployment will continue to rise through 2011, reaching 2.9 million, which is more than 9%. Muslims are more than twice as likely to be unemployed than the national average. Worryingly, unemployment is especially high among young Muslims under the age of 30. Islam and Life will investigate that given the socio-economic background of Muslims, what is the impact of the current recession on them and what measure can be used to fight it?
This is a very important question indeed. What is the recession, which kind of impact this recession has on ordinary citizens and then especially on Western Muslims in the States, in Canada, in Europe, in Australia? This is important. Why? Because very often the Muslims, when it comes to economy, they have the feeling that they are not at ease. They have to avoid interest, they have to avoid speculation, they have to avoid anything which is not Islamic. And then the recession put them in a situation of fragility, a social instability. So what can be the answer coming from Muslims? How do they have to respond to this crisis and in which way they have to understand it? These are critical questions. So, well, to answer all these questions, I'm joined by Dr. Mohammad Ghanem, an economist and a human science expert. Thank you for being with us today. During the last few years even, we have been talking about global recession, what is happening in the West, as if the neoliberal system and the capitalist system is going through something which is maybe questioning even its very essence. We had Muslim scholars and Muslim economists saying, oh, we have the alternative, it's an Islamic economy, an Islamic finance project or a vision. Still, the reality of it is that we don't have an Islamic alternative and we are within the global economic order and we are facing, as Western Muslims, exactly the same as all the ordinary citizens. So what is it exactly that we are calling this recession? For us first to understand before coming to what could be Islamic reaction to it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You've put a huge plot.
Lots
I have
questions.
To break it down.
Okay, take the first question as what it is.
In order to talk to that, we'll just make it localized a bit.
Yes.
To understand it, then we build up the global issue or the global picture. What is recession? Recession is a statistic indicator which means the general product is reduced for the three quarters. Then if you go sometimes two quarter, very little decrease, and the third one just 0.1, it's a recession statistically. Okay. Although the world is huge, but in true economics is not that huge, because you have to know how much is the reduction and what is the relation, why the cause of it, and what is the relation to the international. This is recession. Then sometimes when you hear these words, you don't really scare. You have to understand what it is. Locally, recession is not is very difficult to say global, because in one country you might find a recession, in the other country you might find the economist is okay. But in the overall economy, as a financial phenomena, it has an effect. But just to come here, because you said it's very important, the Muslims say we have alternative and no alternative. If you talk about recession, in particular, in general, in economic sense, you have to differentiate between the Western economy, which is the textbook today, which is academically the only alternative,
the reference,
and
now
the Muslim. Yes. There is a huge, it's two parallel lines. You can't mix it between them. And you have to understand exactly what is the difference. unfortunately.
But today we are not going to talk about the, Islamic finance or Islamic economy, as it is called. Mm. Let us come to this understanding of what is recession. So now we have been talking about this globally. What you are saying, and I think it's quite important to understand that the impacts are local, so we are dealing with it. So what does it mean for an ordinary citizen, Western Muslim citizen? What is he or is she facing when we are talking about that exactly?
One issue I would just add to this Islamic and non-Islamic. When we talk about economics, people not aware of any other theory or ideology. They just have the textbooks, and this is economic, which is being studied and teaching people, and that's the only way they understand.
Yes.
One day, I hope that we can show the other alternative.
Okay.
Going back to you, the recession itself. Fortunately, you have to understand that recession is a man-made thing. It's a reflection of a monetary system. We know the monetary system and it's become very bad, and we lived the last problem in 2008. This is a system. Man has made it, and the nature of it's a cycle, boom and bust, inflation and deflation, recession, unemployment. This is a phenomenon as a result of man-made created monetary system. The effect of it socially, it affects the economy, and the structure of economy reflects that. When we come to the Muslim in the West, in particular, the Muslim is still minority. Although we are a new face to the word Western East is not applicable, because I am a Muslim. I live in the West. I consider myself a British. My kids, they're not aware of the East West. Then the minority of the East to West is not as clear as we look at it.
Yes.
They are still a part of the economy. But because the nature of the discrimination against the Muslim worldwide, even in the Muslim country, the Muslim are a bit suffering. Any phenomena, economic or politics or political, does affect the Muslim community.
But does it affect the Muslims? Because they are Muslims and they are scared as Muslims of being involved in the current economy? Or does it affect the Muslims? Because socially speaking, they are the more fragile group within the Western societies, for example. Are we talking about an impact which is mainly economic? Or is it an impact because behind the man-made crisis, we are targeting a specific group of people? Why am I saying this? Because when you listen to the Muslim discourse, it's very often the case that we listen to Muslims saying, oh, we are targeted because we are Muslims, while our discussion today about the recession is the Muslims are suffering because they are among the poorest people in the Western societies and the more marginalized. So why is it so important for the Muslims to understand the reality of an economic crisis or an economic recession?
I will take this opportunity to just highlight an issue. We have a paradox when we talk about economic and social and politics. There's no such thing. I call it the unity of human action. When a human action does something, it has its economic side, political side, social side, everything.
So it's a dimension. Yes.
It's a comprehensive. But for academic, because of the complexity of human activity, we see some activity, you say this is economic. But when you come to talk a human factor, and you say, for example, a huge issue like a Muslim in the West and as a minority, you can't just separate it. You have to see the structure as a whole. The Muslim is suffering all over the world today, especially in particular in the West, because they are discriminated against. In everything.
All the way.
Yeah. In education. If you go to prison, for example, you will see the percentage of the Muslim in the prison, drugs-wise, stealing, you see huge, comparing to the population. What is that as a result of what? Economic? It has a side of economic. Education, it has a side of education. Political, it has a side of, it's the whole thing. You have to understand that there is a position as a Muslim minority in that society. Mm-hmm. Then the society as a whole, of course, recession affects the whole society. But in what percentage?
So why more the Muslims, for example?
Because they're more deprived.
This is an
because
economic factor.
This is a socio-economic factor. Exactly.
Yes. Hmm.
Social and political. And that, and because they are in the bottom of the structure. Hmm. Then if it affects the whole economic, you can't say, well, it will affect them, the bottom of the stair, positively. Hmm. It's a silly.
What would you, as an economist, just one thing on that, because with the recession, what we had, we had, as you said, more unemployment, more poverty, more immigration, even people moving. So it's, as you said, is a comprehensive reality, and we have to look at it as it is. And the Muslims and the Muslim citizens are very often the more victims, so to speak, about, because they are deprived and they are socioeconomically speaking less secure. So this is all. What would you respond to people saying, if we go to the statistics and we look, for example, at Hindus coming from India with the same socioeconomic background as the Muslims coming, for example, from Pakistan or Bangladesh, the Hindus are doing better in resisting, for example, what could be the impact of the recession. The statistics are showing that the Muslims, all the people coming from Muslim majority countries, are doing not as well as Hindu coming from India.
As a general phenomenon, I wouldn't believe that.
You wouldn't believe that?
Secondly.
Okay. You're questioning my...
Yes, I wouldn't believe that. Okay. But secondly, because the statistic is an art which can be used...
In one way or another.
Against. Yes. But for me, Indian people who come from India, maybe some culture factor might weight the other. Some people, you have to study the history. And I think Turkey people in as a minority Muslim in Germany, they wouldn't do as good. Or
so there's still a cultural factor working.
In Germany, different than France. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of factor, especially, and this is what things I always pop in my mind. When we deal with human, it's different than the rule of physics. In economic subject, as we say, the difference between one of the things I highlighted as well, they used human applying the same rule as physical.
Yes.
And for example, they have got very famous saying, say, catch up market is the same as labor market. It's quite contradiction.
Yes, yeah.
And
there is no definitive response or a clear answer or a unique answer to one of the factors, because what you are saying is that we have to take all this into account.
You have to study it very carefully and see the real factor behind
So what we are saying is that, okay, the Muslims with the recession and with what is happening, they are clearly sometimes targeted, sometimes the victims, sometimes marginalized and more marginalized in the job market, in anything which has to do with even with housing and all this. Now, what we don't want, and we keep on repeating this, is that for the Muslims to victimize themselves and just to say, oh, we are the victims of the system. And what could be then the right response coming from Western Muslims living in the States or in Canada or in Europe or in Australia or even in Japan facing this crisis and recession and the financial crisis? What should they do in order not to be the victims but to become the subject of a resistance to this phenomenon?
In general, Brother Tariq, you have to understand the phenomena. Muslim is new to the West, if we can use the word West.
Yes.
They are different in Canada, they're different in America, they're different in the West.
Yeah.
If we talk about England, then,
yeah.
The first Muslim came as a laborer,
yeah.
worker.
Hmm.
And you go two sides. What the government look at them, how they treat them, and what their expectation is. And that's the first generation. Maybe now you find the third generation. As the policy of British, for example, they didn't really put in their policy how to make those people a good citizen. They looked at it as something temperamental, and we're dealing with it to get them to work as much, as hard as we can. And that's it. They never saw as a vision those people one day will become a part of yes. the society. Mm-hmm. And the first generation as the old laborer who came here, and he was very happy to just get married and have a family and speak English. And they deny the kids. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen that.
Yeah, yes, but this is the whole story.
I'm talking about reality.
Yes. No, yes. This is the whole story of being first an immigrant and then having your second generation, the third generation. Now, even after three generations, this is exactly what you are saying, with this, you know, economic crisis and recession, we still have the Muslims as the first victims of an economic order. More than that, even, you know, I'm just coming back from Athens, from Greece, and we know which kind of crisis they had. This, you know, they were saved by the European Union because they were in close to collapsing there. And then suddenly, what we have as a discussion coming back with the immigrants and these immigrants that are threatening, you know, the stability of the country, should we, yes or no, have a mosque in Athens? As if it is the main question of the you know, how to solve the rest. So it's as if the Muslims are taken as, you know, a strategic distraction in the political discourse, not to come to this discussion, which is how do we deal with people after three generations still as a minority, feeling that they are the first to pay the price of a global economic crisis. So what would be now the suggestion? How should they respond to this?
Well, it's very obvious for the British politics to have, when they fail, to have an excuse.
Yes.
And these immigrant excuses are very common for
it's
everywhere.
Known, yes, yes, yes. That's true.
But for three generations, when you see transmission for restructuring the society is very short
yes,
term.
Historically speaking.
If you move back to America, for example, the black and white, now the problem in the black is still there. Although they claim now discrimination against black, that's old days, but still.
That's true.
It takes a long time. But for us as a Muslim, because...
Do the Muslims have to wait?
No.
Wait and see how it's going to with history, or do they have to be involved in the process?
We have to use the time.
Okay.
We have to understand our position, and this is the equation.
Yes.
If you want to change, you have to know what's wrong, what is right, and how to reach from wrong to right. Because it's not just understanding the wrong and right is enough. Because sometimes the way you should develop yourself to reach your objective is a factor of your success or failure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then for Muslim, we fortunate enough, because as a Muslim, we have value system. We don't really work or do to get result. We work because we like to be positive.
The principle itself.
Mm. And this is very powerful.
So practically speaking,
we should educate our kids, educate the community. Everybody does his part. I've got a part to do in life in general. My responsibility about my human fellow is general. To my Muslim, I have to give and try to teach, try to educate, try to do as much.
So once again, this is the comprehensive approach. But
yes.
Now what are you going to suggest to someone who is telling you, look, with this recession now, I don't have a job. I want a job. I go to the job market, I am discriminated. I go to get a house, I'm told that I cannot get a house because of, you know, the mortgage is too high, or because there are areas where there are only people coming from the same background. Practically speaking, what should they do?
Yeah, we don't have an excuse, because this country, blessed, is democratic, and we know the system.
Yeah.
We should engage to the system.
What does it mean? What do you mean from an economic viewpoint?
Yeah, we have to engage to build, first, politically,
yes,
there's parties, we have to join the parties, we have to have our own institution, economic, we have to support whatever party or member of the parliament who's as close as to us, or as close as to a good economic
just policy. System and just
then,
economic system.
By engaging in a society, we reduce the discrimination against us, and we become a part of the society, integrated in it, and establish our own system. Of course, we have some problem with the law in this country. I would mention here as well the usury system, the banking system.
Yeah.
Okay, how are we going to solve that problem? Not to keep criticizing, because that's negative.
We don't have much time, but very quickly, because I'm hearing two things coming from you. One thing is we have to engage within the society, and at the same time we have to create our own institutions. Is it mutually exclusive, or can we do both?
We can do both, of course. Everything together. Because, as again, we'll go to human activity again. When you are active, every active you do positively has a positive dimension, politically, economically, everywhere. Socially is very important. Our kids, is the second generation, is very important to give that, convey that message to them in a very educated wise from the Islamic point of view, and don't use that as a separate society.
Okay, thank you so much. I think during our discussion, it's quite important to understand recession and even the concept and the reality. But still, when it comes to the practical dimension, what you said, and I think it's quite important, is to understand which kind of impact it has on the Western citizens, and especially on Western Muslims, because they are the more deprived, they are in very difficult, sometimes, social situations. So they have to get a sense of what is happening, and then to engage within the society. It doesn't mean that to be lost within the society, but to be a part of a resistance to discrimination and racism, and to be targeted, and at the same time to think about their own institutions, because this is also a way they can contribute for the better within their society. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is the way to contact us.
We'd like to hear your views on today's show, as well as ideas for future programs. You can do this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also join our Facebook page by searching Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can view past programs, keep up to date on future shows, leave comments, and meet other Islam and Life fans.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Dr. Muhammad Ghanim. Thank you so much for
thank
being
you
with
very
us
much.
Today. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.